Welcome to Going Deeper, a podcast series sponsored by Tabernacle Baptist Church in Richmond's historic Fan District. My name is Spencer Law, and I'm the pastoral intern here at Tabernacle. This podcast is a supplement to Tabernacle's ongoing discernment dialogue, exploring what God has in store for the little church at Grove and Meadow, and also the Universal Church. We invite you to listen each week as we share thoughts, articles, questions, and ideas about our discernment process. As you feel led, we welcome you to respond by connecting with our pastoral staff, sharing your reflections in our communal journal, and accessing others' reflections in the journal. This week, our associate pastor Meg Lacey Vega and I talk about the future church and our vision of what that looks like.
So, yeah, tell me more about when you're thinking about the future church and bringing the skills and gifts that you have to the future church. What are your thoughts around that? How do you envision that happening?
Yeah, I sense that a lot of clergy are asking themselves this question right now. And I think there's a part of the question that's like, what are my gifts and how can they be utilized where I am in the middle of like pandemic church life? And then I think there's a second layer of that question for many of us, and that is, what are my gifts and how can they be used in whatever the future model of the church is? Because I feel like the pandemic has just like sped up a process of there will be, I think, small churches that won't make it, and there will be larger churches that will just have a new reality on the other side of this. Like the idea that everyone comes physically to the building multiple times a week, like that was already kind of ebbing away. And it just feels like this has hit fast forward on that, the pandemic has. And so I think for me, it's caused me to take time to reflect on what I feel like God is stirring in me, and also like what I feel like God is stirring in the world. I say this all the time, so it's probably getting old for some people, but like I think as we tend to think that the church has a monopoly on God, that like for people to be engaged in spiritual life, they need to be connected to the church. And while I certainly think the church is a vessel that God is using, and maybe even the primary vessel that God has chosen to use over these last 2,000 years, that doesn't mean that God is contained within the walls of the church. Like, I deeply believe that God is doing things outside of what we as the church are offering or can see. And so I think one of the interesting things about moving into the space where I'm both working within the church and also teaching yoga has been seeing more of like where the parallels are inside the church and outside the church with the kinds of questions that people are asking and the kind of spiritual longings and desires and needs that people have. And so I think I've been kind of thinking about for a while, like, what will the future of the church be? But then the pandemic has sped up. Sorry, I'll repeat that since my email has gone off and I'll close my email. There's this great study that Harvard Div put out a few years ago called How We Gather. And it was, there were a couple of different researchers and a couple of different clergy that were on the project, but it was basically trying to unearth, like, what are the ways that people are getting their spiritual needs met outside of the institution of the church? Because we know that just because church numbers are declining does not mean that people's, you know, need for community and spiritual formation has, you know, disappeared. So obviously they're getting this need met somewhere else. And so they looked at everything from like CrossFit groups to yoga studios to collections of people that did like camping and outdoors adventures together, and tried to kind of see and map out like, where is this happening? And so there's this kind of outside of the church conversation about how people gather and get their spiritual needs met. And then there's this inside the church conversation where, you know, like Lydia's Dinner Church in Brooklyn, and a friend of mine runs an organization called Simple Church outside of Boston that they like bake together. It's like a social enterprise kind of experiment. And so there's like a baking component and there's a gathering worship component. And I'm just seeing and hearing about more and more of that. And so it's just on my mind, like, okay, well, what is my role to play in this new church landscape? So what about you? What were you thinking when you were thinking about your gifts and future church, and what have you seen?
Yeah, I think I totally resonate with all of that. And I've been thinking about the same kinds of ideas. And at the same time, I've been looking at, you know, my experience and background doing media and what that means moving into this virtual space, and how significant and helpful that has been as everything's had to transition online. And yeah.
Those skills are even more valuable, like, right? Than before.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then I think about the people who are expressing that, you know, this is a time we felt connected to our church family outside of the physical space of Richmond more than ever before, which is incredible. I mean, that's such an amazing opportunity that we have to connect with those who are not physically near us, but who are socially, spiritually, emotionally very close. And I think about moving into the future church as an opportunity to say, we've seen how that can work, even in a very tense and very uncertain situation. So as we come around to adjusting to a new normal, a new reality, how can we continue to take that closeness that we have kind of at a distance and mirror that? How can we use, and in my case, use things like media and technology to make that a reality every day, not just in pandemic life, but in, you know, whatever we are going to pretend is normal life one day. But yeah, and I would love to hear more from you about where you see, I know our generation is very weird in how we view spirituality and church, and you know, you could subdivide probably my generation, your generation, but I would love to hear more about how you see that spirituality and that kind of that Christ-centered community happen outside of the church building. Like, where do you see that in your life? Or maybe some of those examples that you shared, where do you see that happening?
What immediately comes to mind is something that kind of turns upside down the premise of your question.
Sure.
And that is the church that I served in Atlanta while I was in seminary was this, like, it was in a downtown neighborhood. It was a church that had basically all but died. I mean, it had been probably 2,000 members at its prime. And it had dwindled down to like 20 to 25 people.
Wow.
And I discovered the church as they were on their upswing. So there were these like 20 core members that had been around for, you know, 50 years. And then there were these like 20 to 30 newer families that were from the neighborhood. And what was so unique about serving in that context that I didn't really know at the time how unique it was that the church kind of functioned as a community center for that neighborhood. And so the lines between who is the church and who is our neighborhood were super, super blurry. And so the church hosted things like poetry slams and craft fairs and like major neighborhood and even like city events and would have, you know, hundreds of people in the building for those things that those people may never have come for worship on a Sunday morning, but they were still able to tap into like a sense of connection and meaning and like really like positive, holy energy that doesn't exist in most of the spaces in our lives anymore. And even like a slower pace was one of their kind of core guiding principles. Like, everyone is welcome and come here to breathe. Mm-hmm. And so I think when I'm considering, you know, what are the spaces where people are finding spiritual community outside of the church, I think sometimes those spaces are actually in that blurry boundary between where church exists and where neighborhood exists. I also think that that's happening online in virtual spaces. Like, kind of like you're saying, like there's a way to find like an affinity connection with other people who share something with your experience, whatever that might be, that we can't necessarily do easily in person. So the example that's coming to mind for me is I religiously listen to this podcast called What Should I Read Next? And it's the first podcast that I've like supported their Patreon community by like making a monthly donation. And I love it because I'm an avid reader and I have some friends who are readers in my life and I'm a part of a book club and, you know, we get together to discuss books once a month, but like reading is a huge part of my life. And so getting to like put my earbuds in and listen to a conversation every week between this woman, Anne, who hosts the show, and a reader who shares three books they love, one book they didn't, and what they're reading now. And then she gives them suggestions for three things they might consider reading next. Like every week, putting that in my ear nourishes my reading life. Like I add things to my to-be-read list and I feel a renewed sense of energy if I'm like feeling a lull in a book or kind of like I'm in between books and I just can't decide what to pick up next. And I'm kind of like, meh. So the fact that there's this online community that I've been able to tap into has energized and nourished this part of my life that I was having trouble nourishing in like basic physical geographical place.
Yeah.
So I think that that is going to happen with spiritual communities too. And I think it probably already has in some ways, but I think there are going to be like virtual community spaces where people gather to have their spiritual lives nourished and supported in ways that they feel like they can't find for some reason or another in their local physical geographical community.
Yeah, that's a beautiful idea. And I love that. I think often about, you know, we really pride ourselves in being such a diverse congregation and having such a breadth of people from so many walks of life. And at the same time, that means, you know, you can't always find someone who shares the experience you have. And having these virtual spaces to make connections like that, like you're talking about, is, an, I think, a perfect way to integrate both that diversity and the companionship of finding somebody who shares that experience and maybe the spiritual moment that you're in.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear about your experience, especially when you were traveling abroad with your mom last year. I know that we've talked a little bit before about kind of growing up in Baptist life and only in the last few years having these different experiences of worship and church. So I'm curious how you'd answer the question you asked me, but maybe also sharing a little bit about how has your sense of what church is even been expanded last, you know, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a conversation I'm having like in so many different ways, but I, you know, like you said, I've been through and through Baptist. Both sides of my family have been Baptist for hundreds of years. And so that's been my frame of reference. I mean, on the world, on church, on everything. But the more that I lean into being open-minded and seeing what other denominations, other traditions are doing, I see a lot of potential and just a lot of beauty in that diversity. So like you were saying, when I was traveling abroad, I went to say CBF sponsored mission and BGAV sponsored mission site in Vienna in Austria. And the location is called the Donauhof. It's Project Vienna, if you wanna look it up. And it's maybe one of my favorite sites that I've seen where people do church in such a creative and unique way. And so this building they bought is in the middle of a mostly refugee neighborhood. Lots of people from the Middle East, but then also lots of people who are just from Vienna, and then a lot of people who have come over from various countries. So it's this really incredibly diverse congregation that they have. A lot of people who will walk in off the street because of where they're located. And then a lot of people who speak different languages. And that was one of the more compelling things that I found in that space is that you know, we have people who are native Arabic speakers, who were native Farsi speakers, native German speakers, and we all kind of spoken bits and pieces of English to one another. But as the service began, we were moving seamlessly between Arabic and German and English in the songs that we were singing, in the sermons being delivered, and the testimonies being spoken. And while I didn't understand about 2/3 of the actual words being said, it all felt so natural. It all felt so right. And knowing that everyone in that room was probably at the same level of comprehension, but spiritually so much beyond that, so far beyond that. I met some folks during just that, you know, short week. We went to a couple services there, and the connections that I formed there have been, you know, I anticipate lifelong. And I fully expect that that is something that is possible if only we're open to the diversity in the neighborhoods around us and the needs in the world around us, I think is really the core of their mission. So that's one of the things I'm thinking about related to Tabernacle, is how we can reconnect with our neighbors, our next door neighbors, what they need.
Actually, that example kind of mimics the idea that there can be these blurry lines between church and neighborhood. Like, it's just
exactly
an example of the ways in which those things got kind of melded and merged and became one big kind of like parish community instead of like you're a member of our congregation.
Yeah, and I think one of the really funny things is that they're the kind of storefront, if you will, of their church, the part that faces the street where you walk in, is set up as a bar. I think I mentioned this before, but it is quite literally a bar. You can go and order a beer and then head back to the church service. And that feels so counterintuitive to a good Baptist. I feel so backwards. But when you see that is such a culturally normal thing in Austria and for a lot of these people who are refugees. And it is also such a way to ease people into that space where, you know, a lot of refugees are living life in survival mode. And to be able to open up that space and say, you don't have to just survive here. You can be spiritually nourished. Your religious life can be fed and grow. And we can do that in an informal and a formal space as you're comfortable. I think that is the kind of thing that I see as really ideal in some sense. Allowing people to have that space where they're both comfortable in the informal and then the formal setting, to be social with one another, and then to be in relationship with God in that kind of blurry space is awesome. It's just awesome.
So how do we help create some blurrier lines for Tabernacle and our local community, the Fan and Randolph and neighbors that we are connected with through community ministry? When I think about blurry boundaries, I can't help but like visualize the outside of our building, which is like this, you know, these really thick stone walls. And it feels like, okay, we don't want to be closed off from the people around us, but they don't really know who we are anymore. And we don't really know who they are. And we're such a creative and artistic church. And Richmond has become such a creative and artistic city. It's like, there's gotta be some connections and some synergy, but how do we get a little blurrier?
Yeah, as you're saying that, I almost picture like a mural in our alley, you know, spread out to show that, to invite people in, because I see so many murals in Richmond, and that's just such an inviting part of the city. But I also see our doors just wide open, And I think our community ministry and our child care center are two of the best examples that we have of what we need to be doing moving forward to keep that space blurry, to keep that relationship with our neighbors open, inviting, and familiar. And yeah, I see that all the time where we have folks who will walk up, like you said, who wouldn't normally be in that space at all. It would never, you know, dawn on them to walk into a church space and seek something like community, whether that's because they weren't raised there or because they've been hurt by the church even in the past. But to keep those doors open and keep something, keep a fire burning almost in the heart of the church that lets people draw in for warmth, for sustenance, for nourishment, is maybe one of the best ways we can do that. And I don't know if that means expanding what we've got going on with community ministry, taking in more children, because we know that that's such a need in our community, or finding other ways that we can, you know, foster the arts, and do things like poetry and theater. We used to have theater rehearsals. I remember Ron talking about you had finished choir practice and hear Shakespeare in the other room. I thought that was such a cool story. And I would love to hear more like that, because I think, like you said, we've got such an opportunity to have that space be open and be inviting to our neighbors.
One of the things that has been a surprising gift during the pandemic is the youth circle meeting on the portico, like the front porch, throughout the fall. And then we've attempted to this winter, but the weather has made it challenging. But just seeing neighbors walk by with their dogs and wave and like, oh, hey, they're like youth here. Cool. Like they would have had no idea.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, like, there are these two neighbors that we see like almost every Saturday afternoon. There was a man that walked by one morning during the adult circle, the circle that was meeting on the portico during worship that morning. And he was just like singing a hymn and whistling as he walked. And I don't know, there are these beautiful moments of us being able to connect with our neighbors because we're forced outdoors.
Mm. And that's it. Yeah, I think that's a perfect illustration. And I can see, you know, Richmond is such a city of festivals and murals that we've got this outdoor component built in that almost feels natural that I wish the church would embrace in some ways. That, you know, what is it, what would it look like to take those circle spaces or those fellowship spaces that we have outside, even when it's not something we have to do, to take, this liturgy that we have out onto the street, in a sense. I mean, quite literally, but also in a figurative sense. I also remember Bill Wellstead told me this great story about how Palm Sunday used to go down, and how they would have to bring in the city government so that they could close off Grove Avenue for the Palm Sunday parade. And I can picture that so clearly in my mind. It's well before my time, but I can just see it. And I can almost see it in a sense where I'm imagining our future and I'm imagining us doing church in public. Mm-hmm. That in particular has reminded me of one of my favorite quotes of all time by Cornel West, who says, "Justice is love in public." And I keep coming back to that because I think in a lot of ways, the work of this future church is doing justice. It is walking humbly and doing justice, and loving mercy. And so much of that is doing love in public and being open to every form and fashion that takes.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like Stanley Hauerwas and this idea that the church is created to embody like a critique of the culture, and that we've lost that because we've become so merged with the culture in some ways. Mm. What does it look like for us to reclaim that, like, this, what we're doing here is loving people in real ways, in a way that we haven't figured out to do in our political systems or our justice systems or, you know, any of the other relationships really that we have in the world. But doing it in a way that's so much more public, so that it becomes prophetic, so that it becomes this embodiment of what is possible in the world for God's kingdom in the world, not just for God's kingdom with these handful of people.
Yeah. Amen. I think that is a great note to end on.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And I want to encourage people in our church to continue thinking about this, continue imagining the future church and envisioning ways that our physical, virtual, spiritual space is changing and can change as we lean into what the future church is becoming.
Yeah, and doing that prayerfully. Like, I think the temptation is always for so many of us to, like, you know, generate a lot of ideas, and ideas are good. I mean, I have some ideas about what I think this could look like, but to be doing that with our ear to the ground, with our, you know, our heartbeat, trying to be very connected to God's heartbeat is really spiritual discipline. But I think that that has the possibility to guide us to a really different place that maybe we can't even imagine right now.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Well, thank you, Meg.
Thank you, Spencer. It's great to chat with you as always.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Going Deeper. If you would like to engage or reflect on this week's episode, we encourage you to do so through the communal journal. You can also access the reflections of others through this journal. Just click on the discernment section at tbcrichmond.org.